Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, it has been a couple of weeks since we last chatted. And it is July 1st at the time that we are recording this episode, which means next month we will be playing football. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing
I was gonna say.
for the Boilermakers. But right now, before the season starts, I'm happy. So that probably makes me crazy, but next month, sir, we are strapping it on and hitting the gridiron.
No, I mean, I'm but the next, I mean, we start 0-0, so you know what I'm saying? We ain't taking no lumps yet. It's kind of crazy to think that football's gonna start next month, but here we'll be. And then we get to stress out. It's cool though, because I don't even really like football like that.
And what could go wrong?
Don't want to challenge the sports
And
gods like that, but that's a really good question.
honestly, it can only go up, right?
I don't, you know, I can't say that. I can't say that because you won one game last year, so there is technically a bottom. Like, you go winless.
Dear Lord, if that happens.
Tell you what, that'll be that bucket game episode when they would complete the task. I think we'd be out here blacked
Man.
out, just fucking talking the worst kind of shit.
There's going to be a lot of play hard strength if
Oh,
that is the case. But
play hard wouldn't
either
be
way,
good
there will
enough though.
probably be there will probably be a lot of play hard strength, regardless
Right.
of what happens.
Four horse
But there
conference.
is a little bit of football news to talk about. So with football right around the corner, that means media day is right around the corner. And not sure if you know this, but this year Media Day will be held in Las Vegas. So never did I think I would see a day where Big Ten Football Media Day is in Las Vegas, July 22nd through the 24th at the Mandalay Bay Resort. It's going to be warm, but should be a good time out there. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to it. Purdue will be sending three players, along with Coach Barry Odom, will be running back Devin Mockabee, defensive end CJ Madden, and defensive back Tony Grimes. Not really. We've kind of talked about it a little bit, like with so many new names, it's probably Mockabee, I think, was like the lock. We've talked about him at like, everybody knows how we feel about Mock, and he is the definition of a Boilermaker, so it makes all the sense in the world for him to be there representing the Boilermakers. Probably the only surprise was maybe Ryan Brown not being there. Just normally used to seeing the quarterback as well. I'm guessing with him kind of being new to the program, well, I guess new to Coach Odom. Maybe that's why. But I'm not real shocked with those three names on the list there.
Like you said, I think Mockbee was a given. I actually think that Ryan Brown probably would have been if he hadn't transferred. Like, if he hadn't first transferred and then come back, I actually probably think he would have, because it's a known entity. And then, like, the fact that he played last year as well, which is also why, like, he could have, but I don't know necessarily if you want to have a guy who just, like, left and came back and have him at media day. I guess more so, like, from an aesthetic piece, but yeah,
Yeah,
I think
no.
it's like you said. I'm just I could when I first heard that that media day was gonna be out in Vegas, that was kind of like, wait, why? I've been to Vegas a couple times myself, and it's straight. Don't get me wrong, but like, Big Ten's like a primarily Midwest conference, and all of a sudden now you're out in Vegas. Okay, but what do I know? What do I know?
But that will actually start 3 weeks from today, Tuesday the 22nd. The Boilermakers will not have their day until the 24th. That'll be a Thursday. Just in case you're wondering, on Tuesday, scheduled to appear is going to be Illinois, IU, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Rutgers. On Wednesday will be Minnesota, Northwestern, Oregon, Penn State, Washington, and Wisconsin. And then wrapping it up on Thursday, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, UCLA, and USC. So we'll have more to kind of talk about once that happens. Obviously they're not really a lot you take away from the media days. Everybody's gonna have nothing but good things to say about how excited they are, how everybody's in the best shape of their life, how they had the best off-season workouts. I think the biggest thing for me is with media days happening, that means that the season's just about to start. And so that's kind of like the exciting thing there. But we will have, of course, because we are crazy, like we spoke about at the beginning, we will break down media day anyway. The Boilermakers will talk again Thursday, July 24th. But it'll all get started on the 22nd in Vegas, the Mandalay Bay, if you're interested. There is worse reasons to go to Vegas. I will say that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair.
Not sure I'd really want to go at the end of July, but each their own.
Yeah, that's fair.
One other football nugget I just wanted to highlight, Sim. There was a story brought out, I believe it came from Golden Black, talking about the ticket sales, and just kind of wanted to highlight that and just give a shout out to like the Purdue fandom. We've kind of talked about how underrated of a fan base this is. And I think kind of some of these numbers, when you look at them, are probably not like eye-popping. It was reported that Purdue has sold just over 39,000 season tickets, which is just about 3,000 less than what they had at the start of last year. Which doesn't seem like a crazy thing to like jump up and down about, but when you think about where this program's at, and after going 1-11, to only have a decrease of about 3,000, I think speaks volumes to one, just kind of how loyal this fan base is. And two, kind of the excitement and like the change. And anytime you make that change, obviously there's going to be excitement for a coach in his first year.
Yeah, no, I think yeah, no, I think that the biggest thing is it. Yeah, to me, it shows how I kind of feel how necessary that coaching change was. You see it in the numbers, and I know we had talked about it before. And if you've been on social media, you'd seen some of the discourse that was taking place about people wanting there to be a change at head coach, and obviously you see like the whole staff is brand new. But like you said, the fact that after a 1-11 year that you're still about even on season ticket sales from what you did the year prior, it really does speak volumes about the fan base. And I'm gonna selfishly include myself in that because I am a season ticket holder, you know what I'm saying? So like shout out to me. But no, man, it's really, really exciting, and it kind of gives you that excitement, like you said, about the season, because there's not just gonna be the excitement of hey, football's back, but there clearly is gonna be that excitement of like that I say excitement, and also I think like a cautious optimism in terms of like, well, maybe like this time this regime will be different. But yeah, I was I'm we were talking about this before, before we got on here to record, and I'd be lying if I told you I thought that it would be similar to what it was last year. Just because, yeah, when you have a season like that, it wouldn't surprise me if you had people who were kind of wait and see. Well, let me see how this product is before, I commit to Purdue again. But again, this Purdue fan base is just different. It's different, and in this case, different in a good way, because the support is still there. And I think that's what you've kind of heard, really over the years in terms of about the way that fans have come and always kind of shown up and supported. And yeah, it's just, I mean, I think the team will be very appreciative of that, and I think we're gonna. I'm hopeful that we get some performances, especially at home, that that kind of reflect that in terms of like you have that loud, raucous crowd. I mean, I know last year we were talking about the just look what it is like the aura of having a night game at Rose-Aid and just how electric it can be and whatnot, that atmosphere. And so I look forward to that again this year, and I look forward to it in terms of the numbers and like it being packed out and a bunch of gold and black. Unless it's a blackout, then it'll be a bunch of different other colors. But yeah.
And I did just want to give a special shout out to student tickets as well, as it also has been reported that student tickets are already sold out. So that's also very impressive coming off a 1-11 year. And all of these numbers are just for season ticket specifically. Single game tickets will go on sale later this month. Just wanted to
Sure.
kind of highlight that and give a shout out to all the fans there. But Sim, let's switch gears a little bit and switch over to some hoops and specifically the FIBA U19 Cup that is going on right now. And, two big, for lack of a better term, big. Income, I guess you call one incoming and Daniel Jacobson out there playing, Omer Meyer playing for Team Israel, of course, DJ playing for Team USA. Wrapped up, DJ wrapped up his third game. Israel technically is 3-0, only played two games as Jordan sat our
Protested.
forfeit their game over the week. But man alive, let's talk about Omer and his game against Switzerland, the opening round there. What a performance he put on. I know he had Twitter going crazy. I mean, I don't think you could have asked for a more dominating performance and a more of a performance that gets you excited going into the season than what Omer did Saturday against Switzerland in Team Israel's 102-77 victory. We'll talk about, I'll touch on the highlights a little bit. 24 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. But Sam, I mean, he made highlight reel plays. Like, he looked like the real deal out there.
Yeah, man, it was good stuff, man. Like those the highlights, man, they were it was hard not to get excited, about what he could do in a Purdue jersey based on what you saw in that Switzerland game. And I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but like he of the 24 points that he had, and also he only played 24 minutes, but he had 19 of those in the first half, and you just
You
saw
just saw.
everything. You saw like the whole bandwidth of what the whole repertoire of what it is that he can be in terms of being able to hit outside shots, running the offense, setting up, getting other guys involved. And then like even defensively, he had, he had a sequence, we were talking about it before, before we recorded, about he hit a three, then on defense he gets a steal, he chases down the loose ball, pulls up, I mean, like just fires a three, splash. And like I'm just thinking, what if he does that in Mackey? And like that place might actually crumble. It was a really, really good performance by him. And yeah, I mean, definitely, like, because we're all trying to see, hey, what does this guy actually have? You're trying to find footage wherever you can. And obviously we're fortunate enough that he has an event like this FIBA World Cup, to where we can see, this is what this guy is capable of doing. And I said this to you before, again, before we started recording, but like you were seeing him do a lot of the same things that Brayden could do, like when Brayden's like been, in the scoring bag in terms of the way that he scores off the dribble and the mid-range and step back threes and whatnot. The not just being not just the his being good at passing, but even some of the ways that he passes, the same, like, you were seeing the similarities. And so now you're just telling the with like me thinking like, okay, well, the only difference is that he's bigger, and like he obviously he doesn't have as much in size wise. Like he's taller than him. He's taller than Braden, and so you're just kind of like, all right, well, you're telling me that there's a possibility that we could have two guys who have this type of skill set in terms of being able to break defenses down, be able to create their own shot. Yeah, that the prospect of that is really, really fun. It's really, really fun for us.
Yeah, and like I think the biggest takeaway from me, and just to kind of piggyback on what you said, is it's just nice to see that there's going to be another guy who can be a primary ball handler and take some of the pressure off of Braden. Like, I feel like we talked about that a lot last year, where we needed another guy to step up, and there was never really any consistency there. There'd be some guys that would do it in spurts. But, and, we kind of mentioned maybe that it seemed like to kind of wear on Braden a little bit, down the stretch some. And now I think you have another guy who can do that, one. But two, man, you got a guy who can get it and run in transition. And that's going to be really fun to watch too, is watch this team kind of get the ball, get a defensive rebound, and get it and go. So really fun to see him play Saturday. Like we said, the game on Sunday, Jordan forfeited, and then Omer kind of had a, I wouldn't say back to reality game, but the numbers kind of leveled back out a little bit in their game three game against the Dominican Republic, where Israel won 80 to 76, and he finished with 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And obviously didn't have his best shooting game, but I think the
Say,
one thing that
get into
really
those
stood out,
numbers.
the one thing that stood out to me was Israel was plus 18 when he was on the floor. And we've talked about it before about how plus minus doesn't kind of mean, make or break things, but I think it's just kind of sometimes a good barometer to kind of show how well a team can play when a guy is on the floor. And they clearly were a much better team when he was out there. And that just kind of goes to like his style of play, and how he can just be a difference maker, even if his shot is not falling,
Yeah.
aka very similar to Braden at times.
Yeah. No, man. It, like that. Exactly. Like that's, and especially because he'll be a freshman, so the likelihood of having a freshman game, rather of having the likelihood of having a good game and then having a bad game, like those ebbs and flows, is even greater. Because obviously, yeah, as a freshman, you can have a yeah. You're still trying to figure out the way that the college game is, but. Yeah, man, it just I feel like when you read his stat line and yeah, you point out the plus minus, that to me shows that, like you said, he's able to impact winning outside of just like the and outside of just scoring. So there's other ways that he can, he can be impactful. And he's a starter and he still played what is it, one, two, three, I think yeah, he still played he played the fourth most minutes. So even despite the fact, because he said he had 14 points, but he shot 4 of 15. So like you said, he wasn't it was like offensively, it was not his best game. But he still rebounded. He had 5 rebounds. He had 2 assists, and still overall contribute make positive contributions in the game, which is reflected in that plus minus. And so again, that's like if you're gonna tell me that this upcoming year that he'll have a bad game, and his bad game would be like 10 and 10 and 4. But we still would win by like we still win. Okay, fine. Like that's okay. A guy who's able to help and help contribute winning in other areas, I'm sure is a guy who Painter will still play even if the shots aren't falling. Because I didn't I haven't seen the highlights of that, but we don't know how many of the of his field goal attempts were actually good looks. And I know I've heard Painter over the last few years talk about how, hey, like when we've been missing shots, if they've been good looks, he's like, hey, we got to keep taking those shots. Like those are gonna fall eventually. And so. Yeah, I think about that here. Like you could see those highlights and see, okay, we 4 15, but yeah, I'd like see like we probably should have made another like 4 or 5 shots. Well, it's like, all right, well, if he's still being good in the other areas and he's taking those same quality of shots, eventually we're going to get to a portion where he's contributing to the game in all the other areas. And then obviously he's killing you offensively, just like he did in the first game. So, yeah, I mean, not as good a game, but nonetheless, still, I think some positive takeaways from it, as you mentioned.
And he also did have a few should have been assists too, where just dimes to guys wide open and they were able to knock down shots either. So still a solid overall performance there. And speaking of solid overall performances, Daniel Jacobson and Team USA. Also 3-0 in group play. And while Daniel hasn't really been like the stat sheet or kind of setting, highlight reel plays kind of like Omir, to me, his play is just as exciting for Purdue. One, because it's just good to see him out there and playing. And getting the rust kind of off from being injured all year, playing a very physical style of basketball, which, as we know, come Big Ten play, there'll be certain teams, cough, cough, Chris Collins, Northwestern, who like to play quote unquote physical. And so, anything like that is going to help him get ready. But I wanted to highlight specifically the game against France over the weekend. This was the second game. And Daniel didn't start for Team USA. But like if you look at his stat sheet, he played 12 minutes, had 6 points, four rebounds, one block, and was 3 of 4 from the field. That to me is kind of what you are probably hoping for. He might maybe, get maybe eight, maybe you're hoping for 8 or 10 points, but a performance like that, especially early on as he gets kind of eased into it, like the fact that he can show, that he can come off the bench and be a factor as well, was really impressive to see.
Yeah, man. No, I. He said for me with Daniel, it's just more of I'm just happy that he's able to get out there and get some meaningful run. And obviously, you can do 5-on-5 with your teammates, but when you're playing in competitive stuff against people you haven't played before, just getting that opportunity to get those reps is really important. And like you said, I think that his value isn't going to be like an Edie where he's necessary or a Trey or where you're getting 20 and 10, but he will be the guy who I think is. He's got 8 points, 6 boards, a couple assists, and he has like 3 blocks. And he also has a handful of other plays that don't show up on the stat sheet, but pivotal moments that kind of helped us in terms of whether it was coming back from a deficit or closing the game out. I just so the game on against France, like you mentioned, to do all of that in only in just under 12 minutes too. It just I just like it for him. I really do. I'm really happy that he's playing, man. I really am. I think it's going to be really good for him, and us obviously going forward, because there's going to be things from this where he under like learns like knows, okay, this is stuff I need to continue to work on. And yeah, it's just going to help him. It's just going to help him overall.
Yeah, and I will say too, like, especially for a big like Daniel, like, you got to take the numbers with a grain of salt too. I don't know if you've had a chance to kind of watch any of the games, but it's very much a AAU style type format. These are guys who have only been playing with each other for a couple weeks. And so you can kind of tell there's a little bit of, for lack of a better term, guards really not knowing how to play with a big, and some guards kind of trying to get theirs.
A lot of ISO
And
ball.
so, yeah, so like don't just be focused on, Daniel only scoring 6 points. Like, he is contributing in other areas too. And another perfect example was today, Tuesday, USA beat Cameroon 129 to 70. Daniel only played 5 minutes in the first half and then ended up being on the court for the entire fourth quarter and finished with 7 points, 9 rebounds, and a block shot. Those are kind of the stat lines where, like, if you told me right now, Sim, that like if we could get that every night from him, I'd be like, sign me up. Like if we can get that from him, like
Yeah, whether he was starting
that's
or coming off the bench, that would be we take I'd take that in a heartbeat, especially those rebounds. Especially those rebounds, man.
And he only got the one block shot, but anytime you have a 7-foot-4 guy down there, he's gonna be an
No, he's
impact
changing shots, right? Yeah, he's being more
defender.
exactly. He's being impactful in ways that that don't show up on the scoreboard. So in terms of guys, if he's there in the paint, you're a guard, you're aware that he's there. So in terms of where, if you're driving, where you decide to stop or how you attack the basket is going to be impacted by him being there. So yeah, I mean, like, definitely, I think you're kind of leading to it of like, don't look at his stat line in terms of like on the box score, but look more at like the aesthetic, like what are you actually seeing, and just kind of how he impacts the game in ways that maybe don't show up on the scoreboard, because I think that's what he's going to be doing a lot of this upcoming year.
And so just to highlight, now looking forward, for both, Omer and Team Israel and Daniel and Team USA, both teams are 3-0. And now the round of 16, in this World Cup, which is being played in Switzerland, by the way, I'm not sure if we even mentioned that, but they will. Both guys will get back at it again Wednesday the 2nd, Wednesday morning, US time. Israel will play Cameroon at 10:45 a.m. Eastern time, and US will play Jordan at 11:15 Eastern time. Both those games will be on FIBA's YouTube channel. So now that like the stage play is over, there is an actual bracket out now. And just in case anybody is wondering, Israel and USA are on opposite sides of the bracket. So if they were to meet, it wouldn't be until the championship game or maybe like the third place game would be the only time they would have a chance to meet. But man, wouldn't that be something? To have Israel and USA going on in the championship. That would be neat for Boilermaker
Did that happen
fans
with Jaden and Edie?
and Edie. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, Bobby talking
And
crazy shit if they won.
I think it kind of like we talked about how how it helps DJ kind of get the rust off. But anytime you can have guys play in these tournament style games, one, and then two, be successful in them is only going to help you too. To see both these guys go overseas, go to Switzerland, play well, and their teams play well too, that's only going to help their confidence, and help get them ready for, a grueling, season next year. So, not only is it cool to see, them out there playing well, but I think there's also something to be said for them winning too.
Yeah, no, I mean, you said those are high pressure moments, especially now you're in a tournament setting, so win or go home. And there's no guarantee they're just going to necessarily like beat the shit out of everyone, like, and win the whole thing. There's going to be some probably there's probably going to be at least a close game or two, and being able to not only be in those situations, but if they are able to be successful, that's all That's all stuff that, again, it just bodes well in terms of getting that experience. And for a guy like DJ, who that well, when you think about this Purdue team and how there is a lot of experience, you know, there at the front end between, you know, Fletcher, Trey, and Braden, guys who, and then, you know, obviously you have guys like from last year who, like CJ and Jakari, who have the experience of last year, but now you, Daniel, while not being the same experience, would kind of be aware of, like, you know, he'd be familiar with, hey, I've played in this type of a situation before. And in terms of his understanding of how in those pressure moments you still need to execute, you still need that attention to detail, he would have kind of exposure to that. So you definitely like that again, as well too, for his just overall development. And then, you know, being able to how that benefits the Purdue team.
So definitely kind of exciting to see. And again, both teams will play tomorrow, Wednesday, July 2nd. Israel will play at 10:45 a.m. Eastern time, and U.S. is scheduled to play Jordan at 11:15 a.m. And those will be on FIBA TV's YouTube channel. If you are unable to find that, there's a lot of great Twitter accounts that you can follow that give a lot of great insight for Purdue specific ones. Dustin Schutte, who we just had on, has been really good about that. Our guy Ant has been really good about getting stuff out there. Another one, Jordan Stocks, has been really good with providing highlights and breakdown. So definitely, if you are unable to watch the games, make sure to check those guys out on Twitter. And we will have some tweets out as well. And you can definitely kind of stay updated throughout the games there. But some exciting stuff to kind of hold us over until basketball season starts. But you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Stem is like, you know, we kind of get a little appetizer of some hoops, but I'll be damned if this didn't get me freaking all the way hype, man, for hoops. Like, not that it really took much at all. It took probably a warm breeze and I was
Breeze.
hype. But these highlights, man,
Yeah, no, you're definitely
I
trying to
just
make sure you talk yourself down in terms of like, yo, chill, chill, chill. But yeah, man, it's just it, like you said, it just you already kind of had this just really, really like high optimism, you know, just based off of the transfer portal activity. And, you know, you knew, hey, we're getting Daniel back, and then you get Omer, and then now you start to see some tape, and you start to, you know, think about, okay, well, how would this gel with, you know, what we have? And yeah, it's very easy to go down that rabbit hole, and then you have to remember, oh wait, it's only July, and we still have what, 3 4 months before basketball's back. So yeah, but it yeah, those Switzerland highlights, man, if you have not seen them, you need to go find them. That was just good stuff, man.
And
That was good stuff.
we need to call it the Roberts hole, because at this point I live in the
Yo.
damn rabbit hole, because I go deeper and deeper in that junk and it's exciting.
This shoot. I call it the Roberts roller coaster. That's really what it is. Roberts
No,
hole is
but
nuts.
really cool stuff there, and so definitely encourage everybody to check it out if you can. At least, like Sim said, man, the highlights from the Switzerland game, it legit looks like one of those and one mixtape. Omer was just in his bag, you know, he had everything working, and I think that was probably the ceiling of what we could see from him. And I'll be damned if that's all right, let me stop, I'm going down the Roberts hole
Right,
again.
exactly. His name. Chill out, chill out. You saw what it could be. You saw what it could be. But yeah, we're just gonna leave it at
No, but we will make sure to break everything down next week. Hopefully it'll be a championship between Omer and Daniel. Like I said, that'd be really cool to see and kind of break that down. But we will have much more on that. next week. Want to thank everybody for kind of continuing to interact with us throughout these past weeks as things have kind of slowed down a little bit on our end. But you know, as we've kind of mentioned, things are ramping back up again, and next week or next month football starts, and we'll have some good stuff leading into that, and some good stuff here this month as well. So definitely make sure to keep us tuned in. I know we were gone for a few weeks, but we're back and kind of ready to hit the ground rolling right into fall. So appreciate everybody support. Please continue to interact with us on Twitter. Again, really enjoy all of that. Thank you for all the reviews, the 5-star ratings, all of that. Thank you for all the love, and most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.